Blog Talk Radio.
See, it took a sweet time that time.
Man, it was pretty quick that time. I needed a little bit of time for prep, and they jumped us right in there. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Geekcast. This is weird. It's showing that we have 14 minutes, but we'll just go as long as we want. Most people listen to us on the archive anyway, so
yeah,
we may only be live for 14 or 15 minutes, but you know, stick with us and enjoy the archive. Huh. That's weird. I must have screwed that up, so yeah, I apologize for that. But we're going to cover some comic book stuff. We're going to cover some video game stuff. And we're going to tackle some ways that Marvel can improve the animated side of things, which has kind of been lagging lately.
Really lagging.
We're gonna talk about some things that we would do to make that interesting again. But I guess just within the last couple of hours, there's been two stories breaking as far as some casting for Luke Cage. So I guess we should kind of at least touch on that. We have our Misty Knight, which I am super pumped for because I'm holding out hope that maybe one day she'll be leading the heroes for hire, but that's definitely down the road quite a bit from here. But it looks like they've at least the look of the character they've nailed. So
sorry, I'm old and tired. Yeah, like, I looked her up a bit more. She looks good. She hasn't done, a lot, but she seems to have done just, a little bit of work. So, Marvel hasn't let me down with their casting so far, and I have no reason to believe they're going to now. Despite my hesitation for Jessica Jones.
And it gives them a pretty cool opportunity to kind of tie in Tony Stark to the Netflix series with this character. So we'll see if they go down that route.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if we even see Tony Stark or if he's just mentioned, Tony Stark gave it to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they can totally get away with just a passing mention as well.
Yeah.
So, it'd be cool to see a cameo for sure. The other two castings are pretty cool as well. Shades kind of goes right along with what they've been doing with some of the other villains that they've cast. And then Night Nurse is kind of, we've seen her before, but she's official. Rosie O'Dawson will be reprising the role. So pretty cool, man. It's shaping up and it's kind of, my expectations for the show have kind of been set in a tailspin. So now I just kind of sit back and wait to see what comes out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, now we just, it's all like, okay, fingers crossed that it just keeps kicking ass. So
yeah.
I'm just excited. Did you hear about, the shakeup where they're messing a bit with the management now? What's his name is now just in charge and answers directly to Disney as opposed to, the Marvel committee that they had.
Yeah, he directly through. He's the dude now. I
don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, because I really liked Bendis, Michael Bendis, having some say in it. Quite a bit of us. That's probably our favorite writer and responsible for some of our favorite stories. So, Hopefully, although it's not official, they'll still kind of pool those resources. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like it's going to streamline stuff and make stuff run more efficient, which I'm okay with, I guess. But you definitely want kind of that Marvel feel to things. And I don't want the creative side of stuff getting in the way of the Marvel property, actually, in certain aspects,
Right.
So,
But why something that isn't broken? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everyone seems to be pretty positive. Most of the articles I've read have cast it in a very positive light. But yeah, there's definitely some nervousness from me and I'm sure other people to see that some of those checks and balances aren't there anymore. Anytime you have one person in complete control of that, that can go awry, obviously.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
So should we start with the... I guess I can talk about some of the Battle World stuff that I've read through recently and some of the stuff coming up.
Yeah.
So I had a good haul today, man. Alias got reprinted and was released today. And I just so happened, my particular comic book store, like, will buy one copy of each of those. So I walked in, like, as they were putting it on the shelf, like, I walked in the store. And I'm a big fan of the street level stuff. And that is that's one series that people rave about that I've never had a chance to read. So I was super happy to pick that up. It's volume one. It's issues 1-9. And apparently next month they're going to release volume two, like re-release it. So I'm super pumped about that. But I also had a chance to pick up 50 Years of S.H.I.E.L.D., Mockingbird, and Thanos versus Deadpool. So I've been saying Thanos versus Daredevil all day long, which I think we said it would be about one issue in our little pre-show wrap there.
One issue, two pages.
Yeah, that's all you really need. Daredevil versus Deadpool versus Thanos. I got about halfway into it's what you would expect from it, which just isn't for me, you know. I like Deadpool in small doses, but it's pretty sophomoric. It's a lot of fun, but it's just not quite for me. But if you enjoy Deadpool, then definitely check it out. It's right up your alley. But Mockingbird was pretty cool, along the vein of, you know, kind of the old Hawkeye. I say old, but shit, it's only been about a year, even though they have a new, all-new Hawkeye. That kind of style of writing for the hero of Mockingbird, which I'm trying to figure out if that's a one-shot or if that's going to be an ongoing series. Because the way it wraps up, it could be a one-shot or it could spin off into a series. So I'm still kind of doing my research there. But that gets my A+. Go ahead.
I said hopefully it turns into a series.
Yeah. And in the back, I'd say there's maybe 4 or 5 pages of a character called Red Widow, which I guess is, they're going to release a novel about that character, which I think is pretty cool. Like, it's kind of, I don't know, I hadn't seen that side of Marvel before. Does Marvel come out with actual novels? Like, is that a thing that's been going on that I've missed?
No, I guess this will be one of the first.
Yeah, I'm going to look more into it and try to come back with whatever info I have. But they have, there's a, the writer of Mockingbird, it's actually an awarded author, like a best-selling author. And I guess this is setting up for a novel that they're going to come out with. Hold on, give me 1 second, I've got the issue right here.
Okay. It's going to go straight to the store somewhere, see?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got a little teaser after the Mockingbird story is done, setting up this new character. And if I tell you anything about the character, I basically kind of ruin the whole hook for it. But yeah, number one, New York Best Times selling author, Margaret Stoll, Forever Red. Read more about Red Widow in the novel, Forever Red. So that's
okay.
The first time I've ever seen anything like that. So it says it's on sale in October. So I'll look more into that and come back. Let's see. Also, I've read into the Old Man Logan version of Battle Wars, which kind of picks up right where the original Old Man Logan left off. Kind of like
okay.
some of the other. I hear Civil War does the same thing. I haven't read that, but apparently it kind of it says if Cap never surrendered, it just keeps going from there. And I've gotten about halfway into the first X-Men 1992. I guess my biggest issue with the Battleworld stuff is that the stories are cool, but they're all way too focused on the fact that the Battleworld stuff's going on, you know? It kind of some of it feels very forced. As far as making that all, like, fit together. Like, if they just started writing a comic book about the 92 version of the X-Men with new stories, I think I would enjoy it more than having the Battleworld stuff kind of forced in there. You know what I mean?
I get you.
So, cool. Well, that's my coverage of the Battleworld stuff, man. Do you have some video game update stuff you want to go over?
Yeah. So recently I've been on Twitch, and you can find me at Pistol Danger under Twitch, which should be no surprise. And I played South Park in the Stick of Truth from 2014. And holy shit, it's fucking amazing. There's going to be some spoilers here, so just here you go. You can stop now or skip ahead, whatever you want. It has the best boss fight I've ever been a part of. The boss fight is you have to fight the underpants gnomes who've shrunken you down. You have to follow them through your house to try and get your underwear back. Unfortunately, while that's going on, your parents decide to have a rough night of sex. So the boss is you fighting an underpants gnome on your parents' bed while they're fucking. So you'll see tits flap back and forth, and occasionally your dad's balls will attack you.
That is amazing.
It is the best boss fight ever, quite frankly. It's hard going to be to top that, but they're making South Park 2. Fractured Butthole. So, I'm sorry, let me put more spacing. Fractured Butthole. Four words. Three words.
So this is going to be the weird part where we keep getting updates that the live broadcast is ending. So
sweet.
We've got at least 50 more minutes.
About Marvel anime and shit. But and the game itself, it's a typical RPG. In the mechanics of it, it's kind of more like a Super Mario RPG, for those who know what I'm talking about, who have it's an RPG with a button action time. You press X at a certain time or a button at a certain time, and you do more damage or a second hit, and it's built in. And I'm not very good at that, but, like, the game itself isn't, like, live or die by it. You know what I mean? So it's fairly inviting. It's pretty fun. Overall, I really enjoyed it. Like, I gave away that boss fight, but there's so much more to it. I'd probably say after completing the side quests and everything, you play about a 15, maybe 20-hour game, depending on how much grinding you want to do and other stuff you choose to do. Generally, I think I beat it in 15 hours. And really, there's not a lot of grinding necessary, honestly, which is nice. You can just kind of go with the flow and play, and you don't have to be like, oh, whoa, shit. So that's amazing for me. So, I mean, honestly, South Park Stick of Truth, get it, play it, enjoy it, you know.
It is super
nice.
Fun and we'll enjoy it. There's four classes, and of course Cartman is like the first person you meet. So out of the four classes, there are warrior, wizard, thief, and then just Jew. And if you pick
Jew,
awesome, Cartman will look at you. Yeah, if you pick Jew, Cartman will look at you and go, "Oh, I guess we can never truly be friends then." And he doesn't say that for any other class. Also, a little bit racist, but I haven't had him say this to any other one. I created a black kid, and when I went to pick thief, he goes, "Ah, I see. You're a natural at this, aren't you?" And I'm like, "That's, ooh, that's a bit racy." But it's a super fun game. I would 100% recommend it. Just overall, it's a fun time. I would talk more about it, but I don't want to spoil it. There's a lot. There's so many callbacks to South Park. It's insane. And it's just amazing. And the other game I've been playing is Nintendo's new shooter called Splatoon. And I'm not a big shooter guy, but this has me interested because I'm not very good at them. But the point of the game isn't to kill the opponent. It's to ink as much of the ground from a top view as you can before time runs out. And you can, you know, ink over other people's ink, but, you know, whatever. And to me, that's really nice because I can kind of avoid combat when I'm just, you know, you get in that state, that fugue state where you just, no matter what you do, some dude's always going to come up behind you and kill you right away. And it's something
yeah.
you don't have to worry about because you're just shooting the ground and fucking covering it with, like, blue or, you know, fucking gold ink. There's not gold. There's, like, there's other colors of gold. It's not one of them. And so it's kind of nice. So it's, like, a nice break. Like, you can, like, da-da-da-da-da. And it's something you can kind of pick up and put down, which is nice. Like, I can just pick it up, play a round or two, and then be like, okay, cool, done. Play it again tomorrow or, you know, in a day or two. And I really like it. It's like a casual shooter, and I appreciate that a lot.
That's one of the things I know when I was deep in the, like, Call of Duty days. Like, you couldn't just, like, play around, you know? It was like, shit, like, I'm stuck on this for, like, the next 4 hours, you know? So that's really nice as adult gamers to be able to go, okay, I can get in and get out and do what I need to do, you know?
Yeah. I will say, like, it does have some things that I wish they would work on. Like, leveling up is incredibly long. It's a long process because generally I get between 600 to 900 points each fight. And after, I think I'm at level 8, it's like a couple thousand, like, points to level up. And it's just, like, it's very tedious because once you level up, you unlock more weapons, but in order to level up, you have to consistently do that. So there is a grind element to it, which I don't know. I see why they did it, but I don't really like it. Like, if anything else, like, your points are also your money. So I just prefer the weapons cost more rather than me have to wait till I'm a certain level and then be able to buy them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So other than that, I really enjoyed it. I'm honestly really looking forward to the new Nintendo Super Mario Brothers Maker, where you make your own levels. From everything I've seen about it, it's just fucking amazing. Go look it up, man. It looks slick as hell.
Is that, that's going to be like a Christmas time release?
No, I think it comes out at the middle of the month or end of the month, 26th-ish or something.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was further down the road. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, I guess we will we'll tackle some animated world stuff, man.
Yep.
I guess before we jump into this, like, just like, what are kind of your overall thoughts on the general direction that it should go? My feeling now is that it's kind of been influenced by the, like, Marvel anime direction they went. Like, I guess it was about 4 or 5 years ago. When they had the Blade anime and the X-Men anime, like, everything kind of has that real, like, anime feel to it.
It's
come out recently.
I think I did 5 movies, and I think one could be construed as anime, but it's really not.
Cool. Yeah, I focus more on series that they could do. But I mean, the number two that pop into your mind are the two that they're not going to do right now. Like obviously a new X-Men team, either movie or anime would be awesome, or anime or series would be awesome. But they're probably not gonna do that. And the other one is Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. One of my was gonna be Wolverine and the X-Men, where he runs the Jean Grey school. So.
Yeah. So. I guess go ahead with that, and then we'll go back and forth.
Okay. I'm going to save my favorite for my last, which my favorite should be no surprise to anyone. But the first one I have is a Shang-Chi animated movie, which could go into more series of more like smaller street-level heroes that we probably won't see in the Netflix series, like Moon Knight. I mean, go back and listen. We've talked about street-level heroes a lot because we like them. So I think a Shang-Chi flick would be very nice and do a lot of the fighting and stuff that maybe we wouldn't get to see on a live-action screen, you know what I mean? A lot of, like, the slow-motion counters to hits to basically like a kung fu animated movie. And that's kind of my was my introduction to a lot of the street-level heroes that we probably won't get to see.
Nice. I didn't mention in the Battle World portion, but he had his own comic book as part of the Battle World, which is real quick. Like it reads really fast, but it's worth checking out. If you can't find all of it, then just the last two issues.
Okay. I mean, recently, both you and I just got both of us, not one of us, both of us. Got Marvel Unlimited, and it's 6 months behind on everything, which is kind of shitty, but it's only $9.99, so I can, you know, okay. To me, there should be like another, like, for $5 more, you'll be current on everything. You know what I mean? There should be different tiers
to
it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. But if you go to Comixology, I believe they're generally up to date on everything. So there you go. People who want to
the first idea that came to mind was like a I can't think of what the hell the name of that like animation block is, but like a late night Cartoon Network Adult Swim type version of Howard the Duck, man. I think The big thing is, like DC ropes you in, like, they're doing a version of The Killing Joke. And, like, when Marvel does that, then they do it as part of, like, the network, the Netflix series, or they adopt it into a live-action movie. So I don't so much see Marvel being able to, like, capitalize on that. But definitely, I think, like, just a fun Howard the Duck cartoon would be be something they could capitalize on, a character that they're probably not going to use in the MCU, at least not for more than like a cameo, you know?
Yeah. Some of mine kind of go into the MCU and some of them are just like standalones, because a lot of the DC stuff is pretty standalone-ish. It's like, you know, just one telling the story. So that's kind of what I've got. My next one is Beta Ray Bill and Adventures of Him. And it can be explained that he's previously met Thor, you know, way back, you know, maybe not way back when, but recently, you know. And since he's won't be out for a while, this in my head, Beta Ray Bill comes out after Thor 3. So maybe he's met him between Thor 1 and Thor 3. And it's space adventures. Or it's the origin of Beta Ray Bill, for all I care. I just want Beta Ray Bill.
Nice. Another one would be, and this could either be a standalone movie or a series, either way. But a Ghost Rider redemption, not so much a redemption of the character, but more, you know, in the character as a featured character. you take away the need for the CGI in that of live action, and you can tell a lot of the stories a lot better, I think, through the animated medium.
Yeah, actually, that goes into my next one, Tales of Horror, which is, it's not focused on one guy, but it's focused on a lot of their horror, quote-unquote horror franchise, which is Man, Blade, Ghost Rider, Brother, Elsa Bloodstone, Morbius, you know, guys like that. And it can all be like, you know, like each of them gets one individual movies, and then they come together as, shit, there was a name for them too, and I can't remember. It wasn't that exact team, but it was.
Is it the, is that the Howling Commandos, or is that, what's the?
No, that's similar, but no, that's not them.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Basically those. It'd be like Avengers Dark or something. So that was my next
yeah.
thing. Just a series of, like almost like the Netflix, where it's a series of individual films that lead to a team film.
Cool. Oh, let's see, what else did I have? I should have done notes like I did with my Phase 4 here. But Ghost Rider, Howard the Duck. Oh, bring in the same people that did Wolverine and the X-Men and the first, the Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes, and do an Inhumans series. You want to introduce these characters to the masses anyway. What better way than through an animated series? Like, much like the 92 X-Men kind of did with the X-Men, you know?
Yeah. No, I see that. My next one was going to be Young Avengers, but I remember that I kind of started that in my Marvel Phase 4 with Runaways. So I'm going to do a quick sub, and I'm going to do Marvel What Ifs as an animated feature. And those could go on, because Marvel has What Ifs that go on for ages, that you could just do constantly What Ifs. They could tie into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They could just be fucking, you know, not.
Yeah. And they own everything, so you could do anything, you know?
Yep.
You could do What If the Fantastic Four fought the X-Men or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know.
Yeah. The other thing would be kind of in the same idea as the Inhumans. There's a old BET Black Panther series. Have you ever watched that?
No.
Yeah. BET released a animated Black Panther series. It's like, I think it's like 8 episodes, but it is amazing. Like, Black Panther beats Captain America's ass in it. Just really, it's kind of mature, but it's not really a mature rating. But yeah, I'd like to see another go at something like that to introduce the Black Panther character. If you can track that down, check it out. It's pretty awesome. One point in it, I'm not going to spoil it, but just I think saying this is enough. Rhino actually fights an actual rhino in the cartoon, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Huh. All right. Well, right on. My next and final one is something that, as I said, should come as no surprise, is Next Wave, Agents of Hate. Because, God, I love that book. I'll never not love that book. And I'm never going to get it in a live-action film. So, to me, that was my Adult Swim, like, give me, you know, 15-minute blocks of it or 30-minute blocks of it. I would appreciate it as a movie, like as two movies, because it might be a little long. But I would also accept it as like an Adult Swim quick show. And if they do the 15-minute block, like, have you read it yet?
No, but you put it over enough that I'm gonna check it out now that we got the Unlimited set up.
Now that both of us individually have it. And like, it just the characters can go, like you can go past the comic book, because the comic book's a 12-issue run, and just the fun of it can carry on. Like, it'd be just the shit they do is almost perfect for an Adult Swim type of audience. You know, quick 15-minute block where they go on crazy, you know.
Nice.